now time for the Port Podcast.
And we're rolling. Welcome back, everyone. You are tuned into episode 6 of the Port Podcast. And today, you've got Craig and I on the show, and we're really excited to chat with you. Want to say thank you to everybody who's tuned in to the show. Our last episode with Pat Riley, wow, thank you for all your comments and your outreach. You know, obviously the work that Pat's done in his career is, you know, and still is, you know, quite extensive. And, you know, we were so happy to have him on the show. And, you know, if you have additional questions that you'd like to ask him, he's opened it up. If you have anything else you'd like to ask, or if we'd like to have him back on the show, he's happy to come back on. So thank you, everybody, for listening to episode 5 and any other shows that you might have listened to. I know I was talking to Natalie today when we did the cruise videos, and she said that on her most recent flight, she got to catch up on all the shows.
Oh, wow.
She kind of heard the snippets on Instagram, but she said, I finally got to catch up. She goes, I'm learning so much. So
that's good.
It's interesting, right, hearing how people are interacting with the show. Good. So thanks for coming on, co-host pal.
Yeah, so I guess I'm the co-host, and I have a bunch of questions you're going to be asking me today. And I've got no notes in front of me. I'm not prepared. These questions are not prearranged.
Did it on purpose.
I have no idea what you're going to be asking me, so I'm hoping it all goes well.
My strategy here is to, you know, as a lifelong Johnner, you know, I think that it's so easy, as we've talked about on other shows, to really just look at something and think that you know a lot about it, right?
Yep.
And, you know, whether I think if we even just look at cruise season, I think it's easy for people to say, well, the cruise happens, but what about the other 8 months, right? So it's good to delve into and provide more context and information. So I want to talk more about, you know, how you came to, you know, be in the city, how you came to work at the port, what you're up to, and kind of like what your visions of, you know, being a leader and a CEO at the port, you know, what you're doing to continue to, you know, keep that from a professional development standpoint, and, you know, just what it means to you from a community aspect. So we will be, you know, getting into a lot of that. We'll be talking about, you know, some community stuff. Like I said, cruise season's coming up, port days is coming up. So we'll want to talk a little bit about that. So, but, without
big
further
few weeks.
Yeah, it's few weeks. There's a lot happening. Yeah. So
I was on a container ship. And this is the first time via Hapag-Lloyd we've had an NYK ship in here. It's one of the largest container ships we've ever had at the Port of St. John. So myself and my colleague Shannon Blanchard, along with some representatives from DP World, Josh McKnight specifically, went over and delivered Tim Hortons donuts to the captain and crew.
I'm like, where are the donuts?
They're gone.
They're gone.
We didn't get any. So the crew, there's 24 people on that ship that have been transiting the world, and they're you know, some are on for a 4 month stint, 6 months, and upwards of 8 months. So it's really really great to be able to recognize the crew and have a good chat with them in their first voyage into St. John. So those are one of the funner things you get to do.
That you get to do,
We do it a lot with inaugural calls with cruise ships, but we're going to start to do it a lot more with container ships because we're going to see more and more new vessels and new captains come to St. John.
And we'll make sure if you're listening and or watching, if you're watching via YouTube, you'll see those photos flashing up on the screen right now.
Yes, so Shannon took a couple of good, we have one really good selfie in the ship. You'd be very proud of us, Kate.
Oh, I saw it and just the beam of light across my face. Yeah. It's why I'm just so on for this podcast right now.
Taking selfies is probably the most uncomfortable thing I've had to do in my whole time here at the port. So thank you for taking me outside the comfort zone.
I'm doing my best little by little every day here at the Port of St. John.
Yeah.
No. And so with that being said, can you talk to a little bit about how your career started here? I know, you know, that's a big question to ask, but, you know, for, you know, whether it's someone that's attending St. John High School or, you know, someone that's 5 years old or someone that's, you know, older and is just wondering, like, who is Craig?
Yeah.
What's this guy doing?
For sure. No, I started here in October 2011, but it's funny you mentioned St. John High School. I'm a graduate of St. John High and really, really did not have the depth of knowledge about the port when I was going to school. I saw cruise ships come in. There were still sheds in the area where these cruise terminals are today.
Yeah.
And really the narrative at the time in the city, and I graduated in 2004 from St. John High, and in the early 2000s, the narrative of us being a port city was starting to disappear a little bit. There was shipbuilding was no longer an industry that existed in St. John at that time anymore, and business and the amount of hours worked on the waterfront. Pat Riley alluded to that last episode was starting to have a bit of a downward trend. So we weren't seeing the growth that St. John had for so many decades. And one of the key rail partners that is now back in the port had decided to sell off the rail east of Montreal. That would be Canadian Pacific, now CPKC, post-merger, divested of those assets. So really one of the best value propositions that we see today that's come back, that was no longer in existence at that period. So my knowledge of the port was low. I left St. John, did my education, worked elsewhere for a period of time. And in 2011, I was recruited back to come work for our former CEO, Jim Quinn, who's now senator, who we've got to have on the podcast.
Oh, I know. I was thinking about that the other day. I thought, you know what? He should be our first call, but not give him any notice.
He's actually one of our biggest fans because when he goes and talks to local groups, he's always mentioning the podcast and coming on. So we've got to have Jim. He's got to be one of those recurring guests, like on the Howard Stern show.
And Jim, if you're watching this is a promise. You're going to be on the show, okay?
But not even that. It's got to be one of those recurring guests. Conversation with the senator.
Yeah, I'd love that. I would love that.
Yeah, so Jim brought me on in the fall of 2011, and he had been here for a little over a year at that point, and he had worked 32 years in Ottawa, in the government, and he had a real mandate and a vision early days as CEO that we needed to make infrastructure investments if we wanted to get back in the game. That I had just mentioned earlier, we needed to invest in the infrastructure and put significant dollars and have government understand the value of why those dollars make sense for St. John. So he brought me in, and I still remember. I tell the story all the time, and my first role was a government relations kind of writing business case for those.
That's what they always say in those first roles.
Well, I come in and I said, well, what's the business case for the project? And he said, well, we don't have any of that yet. So there was no project. There was nothing, but there was a dream and a promise that we were going to, we were going to get back in the game. And I just had such an amazing opportunity my first few years at the port because I wasn't tied to anything specifically. I got to know the business. I understood what our revenue streams were. I got to work with so many great people in operations and business development, cruise development, cargo development, our finance team.
Gives you such a more granular and really strategic way when you're putting those business cases together. You have the real time and the context behind it and the data to show, not just putting something real shiny and a great thesis together.
Exactly. So I just had this wonderful opportunity to get to know everyone. And my colleague who was on our first podcast, Paula Copeland, she was doing communications. And one of the early projects I got to work with her on was rebranding from the St. John Port Authority and the navy blue logo that looked very government to Port St. John, and trying to get ourselves more open to bringing people down to the waterfront and making it more about community. So Paula's done a tremendous job over the last decade doing that. So I got to play a small role in that early days, and kind of that was the first few years. And then we finally landed on what would become our $205 million modernization. That took about 3 years from the time I arrived. September of 2014, we were able to submit our first application. And it takes so long to build these business cases. And really 2 years after that, after getting the business case in, we secured the funding in 2016. So that really started the progression for that project. And the project is now just being completed today. So it's quite the journey.
And, you know, like not to interrupt, but I think one thing I can speak to is when I was working at the city briefly, from thinking I knew a lot of how things worked, understanding the revenue streams, how committees work, how things, it really gave me a better sense of what's happening and where efficiencies could be made. But when it comes to the time in which time things take, there's no speeding it up. And some things happen really, really fast, and you'll have all the right people in a room, but it still can take years to get those projects over the finish line. Yep. And, you know, it can feel discouraging sometimes or disappointing, but when you get there and you haven't had any dots missed or T's crossed and the due diligence is done and you don't have to backtrack, I think that's definitely what I've been seeing, especially with my time here at the port.
Yep.
you know, I know how hard it is, you know, to work on something that is 4 or 5 or 6 years away.
I know.
And to continue at it every day.
Keep
and to
people
be
motivated and excited when, you know, it's a long-term
but
vision.
Then, you know, trying to showcase it, like, you know, just behind us, like I'm watching like giant tractor trailers come up on a new breakwater that's right. almost as close to the bridge, yeah. like at eye level now. That wasn't there last year. And I think we get so used to just looking that we don't realize, you know, the time in which that happens. So I just want to, you know, point that out, because whether it's, you know, the spot up where the bargain shop used to be, or, you know, like projects take time, and sometimes there's variables that we can't control and different levels of government or investment that it just takes time to make sure it happens right, so that, you know, we don't end up with a half situation where it's not good for everyone.
Well, we're in a society, and I'm one of the worst culprits for it. You want everything's instant.
Yes.
Whether you're on your phone, whether you're watching television, you're listening to something, you want to consume instantly, and if there's a delay, you get frustrated. And
absolutely.
I think that's just we are all part of that culture. But when you're looking at things like a port and infrastructure investments in growing something, a decade really isn't that long.
No.
And that's really hard to get your mind wrapped around.
That's a really good point. And have you found your morale has stayed pretty consistent the entire duration, or have you had some?
Well, there are moments.
There are moments. You know, yeah.
There's
we'll zoom in on that. There are moments.
There are always moments. Yeah. But I think you need to know, whether you're in the role I'm in now or the role that I was in, you know, 12 years ago. You need to know yourself, and you need to know what motivates you. If you know that, then you'll have a lot more success. So what right. motivated me a decade plus ago to now hasn't really changed all that much. I just want to see interesting things happen for St. John. I want to see investments that we deserve to have here, because we're a major port for supply chain resiliency in Canada. The country needs to see that. The nation, the North America needs to see that as well. We've played a historic role in North American trade, and we're right. playing an even bigger role again. Kind of where the term we've coined internally. Mm-hmm. Kate, you've been part of this. We're waking the sleeping giant that is the Port of St. John. So I just want to see more people employed on the waterfront. They're great jobs. It's a great way of living. You see in Europe and across North America that when you have a prosperous waterfront, people are employed in a really meaningful way. Right in St. John, kind of the quick statistics we use at the port, we use the Human Development Council's living wage. Most port jobs are double the living wage.
Double that, yeah.
And then you look at the tourism sector, and you've got Area 506. You have people that want to take that entrepreneurial risk. They want to start their own business, have low overhead. Well, Ray Gracewood and his team have created that at the 506 Village, and we've seen vendors then take advantage of the great architecture we have uptown and create physical locations too.
Which I think is, you know, phenomenal. And I think sometimes it can be really easy to, you know, articulate some of the negative, whether it be parking or time or, you know, whichever that is. But we really do have to rely and support each other and do a little bit of, you know, whether it be sharing or doing a quick video when you're out and right. elevating each other.
Can I have a quick rant about parking for a second? So I live in the South End. I love it here, and Kate and I are neighbors, and people are willing to park a football field away at Costco and walk in, but one city block is insurmountable to go to your favorite shop. I think we've got to flip the narrative.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me.
Yeah, and I think too, in a lot of the marketing work that our team does on the side, outside of the port, I think a lot of the advice that we've been giving our clients, whether they're a restaurant, a product or a service, brick and mortar type location, people should want to come to your location because of the experience you give them, and you shouldn't have to give them deals, parking or any of those things. They should want to come and make the time to either come to your boutique on their lunch hour or to come in when they're not working on, you know what I mean? And I think you're absolutely right. And if you, like, when you were 19 and 20 and you wanted to go to a show and you didn't have the money, if you didn't, you figured it out. And if you didn't go. You know, so.
Yeah, and why I really think Uptown St. John and the groups that are helping here are doing such a fantastic job is because they get the whole notion of critical mass. Our issue with, you know, growing the Uptown core and making these businesses more prosperous is not parking. Our issue is having a ton of things to do. You can't just have one or two things.
Right.
We need everything to be booming. That's why the container village is complementary to the city market.
Exactly.
Just as the city market is complementary to shops on Prince William Street. You need many, many things to do because if a family or an individual is coming in, think of when you travel or go to different cities. You want several things to do and you want to be able to choose and do about 20% of all those things that are available to you.
Yeah.
So that's it's the density, the critical mass. Uptown gets it. The city gets it right now. And I think that's why our momentum is strong.
Yeah. And I think a lot of businesses, you know, whether pandemic or not, we're told to evolve and try to make things more. Okay. But I think people just have to really, you know, if you want these things to be here, or you want to have new things opening, or have new people take a chance on doing a pop-up, like look at Billy's Seafood. Like they're doing a pop-up down at Area 506 this year. That's brand new. That's a whole new revenue stream of business. It helps get, like, I'll be honest with you, I work with the city market. Yep. I've been to Billy's maybe once in my whole life. Right. I've lived here all 34 years of my life. I've maybe only gone there once. Yep. I know everything about their menu. I know all about like their team, but it's one of those things. If it's not part of your daily or your lifestyle or part of your, when you go out for special occasions, you're not in it. But will I probably try it now that it's down here and get a fish and chip?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think it's all about evolving for the right things.
Yeah.
And
I have to say for Billy's, it's been so, Billy himself and the whole restaurant experience has been so part of our Cruise program for decades. They get customer experience, so they're going to be a phenomenal add to the Container Village.
Yeah, I'm super excited for that.
We should do an episode about all our team yesterday went through all. Some of them haven't been fully announced yet, but all the different vendors. We should get the folks at Area 506.
You're going to get an exclusive.
Unreal.
But you have to listen and subscribe to the show, or else you won't know. We won't put it out anywhere else, guys.
There you go.
We won't do it. Yep. Okay. Well, and to go back to a little bit more about your role, could you, like, I know sometimes, like, as individuals, as adults, as professionals, we try to map out, you know, what the next couple years might look like, or from a professional development standpoint. Did you ever foresee being the CEO at the Port? Was that something that you maybe were prospering towards? Was it something that, I don't think anything falls on our lap, but I think sometimes things happen, and then as a result of the work we put in, we're able to kind of dial into those opportunities?
Definitely not early days.
Yeah.
I when I came back to take this role and kind of reintegrate into St. John life at that point in 2011, I really didn't have a time frame. I like a lot of people, I was kind of, you know, looking at what's right in front of me, short and medium term goals, that kind of stuff. I had two degrees before I came here, so I figured the educational part of my life was over. I was wrong about that. I just figured I'd get a bunch of great experience, and I wasn't really thinking long term. I know that's not probably popular amongst folks that are trying to help people plan, but it was really more of a day to day, month to month, not even year to year venture. I was just trying to reconnect with old friends, make new ones, create a network amongst.
I think saying that is very helpful to a lot of people who are looking, whether they're going to school, potentially thinking about going back, they're looking. That's why I kind of bring it up.
So, I had no plan, if I'm being really honest at all.
And I think it's all about your network, your ecosystem, understanding where your needs and your skills lie, and then picking something that you're best suited so that you don't have a turnover at six companies in a run of 2 or 3 years, right?
I was always kind of taught by great mentors like Jim and others that, just life is a series of small wins, and whatever you're doing in the moment, try to do really, really well, and place the right amount of importance, because you never know what it's going to further lead to. So when we were writing that business case, and I got to work with engineers from all over the world that were helping us map that out, I just took all those moments to soak it all in. And try to really understand and get why that's important. Even though we didn't have the money yet, we didn't have the terminal built, we didn't have anything in place. DP World hadn't arrived as our terminal operator.
Right.
But I've viewed all of those little milestones as big, big important events. So that's really what I took in those days. And I hope I able to continue that today, like we did with the cranes. Like, you've got to be able to stop and pause and reflect in moments that just the moment calls for it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I didn't have a long-term plan. My role evolved quite a bit in late 2016 into 2017. So at that point, I wasn't a supervisor to anyone. I worked directly for Jim, and I was kind of off to the side looking at strategy, planning, business case, and that $205 million project. After we signed our agreements with government and we're off to the races, Jim gave me a tremendous opportunity to lead a group. We formed a corporate services team that looks after finance, HR, IT, general administration, kind of strategic planning, performance kind of elements in the port. So really tying in a lot of what I did, and then working with people on our finance team. Krista Foster has been our controller here. She's just a wonderful, wonderful person, and is so engaged on that file for the last 25 plus years, getting to work with her and others on that team.
So she'll let you know what's going on and won't let you do anything crazy.
Exactly.
Thanks, Krista.
Exactly.
You're keeping things good up in here.
Yeah. So I had the great privilege of leading that group and setting small plans. And I always joke that the lesson I learned that first year, and it's about patience in life too, is that we kind of sat down and brainstormed as a brand new business group at the port, and we had all these ideas of things we wanted to do, and I just naively assumed, well, we're just going to get these done, let's just pick them off one
by
one. It took years, because
I'm looking at the camera because I'm like, if anyone knows me,
it takes years because I just wanted to get everything done quick and fast and expedient. But the problem is, everyone's got day to day work that they have to do, and process is so important to keeping the lights on and keeping a group functioning. If you take people away from their day to day for the new project of the moment, the new shiny bulb, as my colleagues used to tell me, I used to always like,
don't zoom in on this, y'all. But I can relate to that, right? And I think it can get hard to create a balance sometimes, because you can see how fast being able to sometimes bring the right people into a room can be. So you think, well, why can't we get some things signed? Why can't we get the right phone calls happening and get some, why not? This is good for everyone. And I think that's maybe where constituents, citizens, the people that live here sometimes, if they're not fully aware of what's going on, then, why has it taken so long to get a school? Actually, there's a huge giant report on it, and there's timelines, and, we have to make sure that we have the proper land and that we're not taking out, like, playgrounds that were just built. Like, there's a lot of elements to it, but, if you're not on those committees, you might not be thinking about those little very important details. So, well, that's interesting.
So when you mentioned, you kind of in your first question, you said, were there moments that up and down? I guess that for my personality, and I try to self-awareness is so important. You got to constantly try to check your blind spots and know that you're going to miss things. That's baked into development. But I guess just trying to rein myself in and say, okay, this is going to take time. Time is your friend in this. Time will help ease the change, and the whole change management piece when you're trying to do something different needs to take that. So reining myself in and then having people around me that can help rein me in at times
is good.
When I need to is what I try to do at all times.
Yeah, I've been taking a lesson in that over the past few weeks as well. So having a good team, understanding what the day-to-day looks like you said, to keep the lights on, and then understand, like, what are some of the other things that we can do to, whether it's be entertaining, provide educational resources, and just bring people along for the journey with us. Because I think that there's a lot of the questions we're being asked through social media, through email, are things that now we're asking engineers when we're doing modernization videos, and it's really bringing a lot of context. So if you are listening or watching and you have a question about why does this room look the way that it does, or why did we choose the art, we'll pretty much answer anything that to ask. And speaking of that, I think we have an audience question. Oh my goodness.
We have
one
guest.
Audience question. Oh my God. Hold on.
And we're going to start to do this more frequently with call-ins
as well.
This is our test.
1, 2, 3. We have a audience question here today. We've been talking a lot about cruise season, and I had a question, for folks that, see the cruise ships. Welcome to the show, Charisse. Hello.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Welcome to the show.
So now I've got to compete with two professionals in radio that
know this so much
better than me. You're really putting me on the spot, Kate.
What can I say? We do our best, right? So, Charisse, what do you want to know about the port?
I think,
I don't know about cruise. What do you want to know?
I think what I was curious to know, it was really cool to hear you, Craig, talk about sort of how things were when you first joined the port and how, you know, it's evolved over the last like 15 years or more. I want to know, what was the one thing that surprised you the most when you started? And, you know, because I think a lot of people, you know, in the general public think of the port, they think of the cruise ships. Yeah. And because it's the most publicly visible thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, you know, support around it. And I was kind of curious, what are some things that go on behind the scenes at the port that surprised you in the beginning and that might surprise some audience members?
I think the biggest thing, and I think you've touched on it, I was in that part of the population that thought the port does cruise. Like, right. that's the most visible thing. That's, you know, we do cargo, you know, a little bit, but cruise is the main industry. And I think early days, understanding that, yes, we've got a great cruise program. We're looking to grow it. We're looking to be, you know, to always evolve that, but that we had so many other opportunities around cargo that was not yesterday's news. So I had that preconceived notion that the West Side, other parts of the port that had previously employed a lot of people, and we moved different type of car, you know, things like automobiles and different cargo through the years, that was gone. That was yesterday's. That was yesterday's industry. That's not today's industry. That's not the case at all.
Right.
All goods are moved through the supply chain around the world, in containers, in bulk vessels, in different type of vessels. And early, you know, kind of, you know, those first couple of years, understanding that this wasn't the norm elsewhere. We unfortunately had fallen off as the Port of St. John, not the industry. I think that was the big learning for me early on.
Another question. I have another question. Can I ask another one?
Please.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I know. So the port has been so amazing as long as I can remember, supporting like community causes and initiatives, you know, sponsoring events. What are, I guess, some of the things that, you know, the port kind of takes into consideration when considering these opportunities? And personally for you, what are some of your favorite things to help out and sponsor as a port?
Yeah, so for us, it's all about the community around us. So we've been partners with PALS, the community schools, both west and on this side of the harbor. You know, we've tried to support the food banks through the Harbor Lights campaign, and just as many things as we possibly can. So we try to spread those dollars that we dedicate to community support around for a lot of different groups. And I personally have the belief that I like funding the core of what a nonprofit is doing. So in the nonprofit industry, there's all sorts of talk of they have to apply for big projects that are one-offs. It's got a beginning point, it's got an end point, but staff costs aren't eligible. You see that a lot in funding. I think that's just ridiculous. I mean, you'd never ask the private sector to borrow money from a bank or get a grant from a government and say, oh, but you can't have any people to do the work. So I think, you know, embedding that, the respect that the people that are working in different groups deserve, and making sure that the funding is aligned with that, is something that I personally believe in. Our staff dedicate a lot of volunteer time to sit on boards or committees related to the nonprofit industry. The one group I've dedicated most of my time with is the St. John Learning Exchange. And I've mentioned her on the show. We're going to have to get her to call in at some point. I think Christina Fowler, who leads that group, and many, many, many others that I don't want to start mentioning one or two, because I'd forget a bunch. But Christina and her team, I think what they do in the city is world class.
Amazing.
Yeah. She could run anything.
Yeah. Such a great organization.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And if you want to be in part of the audience, or you want to have a call in, or you want us to call you, you just let us know.
Yeah.
And I also want to talk a little bit about port days.
Okay.
Before we go, because I know if you've been watching our socials, or maybe you've heard about it, maybe you're part of a company that's going, maybe you've heard of the Seafood Fiesta. I don't know. Maybe you haven't heard about port days. But as two of us that both live here and work here at the port, I think it gives an opportunity for us to kind of showcase what it is, who it's for, why you might want to come. There's lots of different opportunities, whether there's a lunch portion or just, you know, coming to network, you know, there's lots of opportunities. So just want to talk about port days a little bit.
Yeah. So the Port Days is returning entirely in person. So it's our annual event where we get to showcase things we're working on and forward-looking initiatives for the Port of St. John. So in the past, we've had tremendous keynote speakers, leaders of organizations. We typically have a breakfast program and then a couple of breakout sessions, a lunch that kind of concludes the business portion of Port Days, and then we go into a seafood fiesta that's for the entire community. So we typically sell about 700 seats for that great seafood event. It's what we've become known for. The luncheon, the breakfast, and the different panels are really popular for our out-of-town guests to come in and understand what we're working on. And then a great, great group of local leaders come and interact with a lot of those out-of-town guests. The last number of years, due to the pandemic, we've taken it virtual. Last year, we had a small group in person and still broadcasted it virtually. But this year, we're now entirely back. So we're really excited for Port Days this year. It's coming up the end of May, 1st of June. So May 31st and June 1st are the dates for our Port Days this year.
Okay. And if you were just, maybe you're not affiliated to the port, maybe you don't even work in the industry at all, should I buy a ticket?
Yeah, it's really what your interest level is. If you're looking for that general be part of the greater community and interact with 700 of your closest friends and enjoy seafood, that's probably what you're most interested in. If you want to see some of our great business partners and interact with them in a smaller group setting, the lunch and the breakfast and those panel sessions would be key. We'll have people from CPKC, CN Rail. We've got J.D. Irving, Nutrien, the potash provider here locally. We've got Irving Oil.
Pat Riley's going to be there.
ILA will have a large presence. Pat's going to be part of one of the panels talking about workforce development with Minister Trevor Holder, who's our local Minister of Labor for the province of New Brunswick, and Jen Brunn, who leads the St. John Employers Association, who contracts all that unionized labor on behalf of the stevedores. So we've got some great panels, and we're going to slowly start unveiling who our special keynotes are over time.
And so all that being said, if you're now like, oh, maybe I would like to go to Port Days, tickets are a bit limited at this point because we're a few weeks out. It's been kind of out there for a little while. So if you do plan on going, or if you have any questions about maybe a certain panel, or maybe, like you said, there are lunch-only tickets available, there's seafood-only tickets available, there's lots of different opportunities and ways to go to Port Days. And also, you know, through socials, we'll be making sure to keep people up to date, showcasing some of, you know, the keynote panels that are coming in. But we don't want to overboard, pun intended, the content if it's not applicable. But if you do have questions about it, or you want to know, like, is it something that my company should maybe get a table at, the staff here would be happy to answer that email and make sure it's something, you know, that is valuable and applicable for you. Yep. So, and definitely hope to see you all at Port Days. So I think that's that for this episode.
Wonderful. No more tough questions. I feel like I got off a little easy there.
Well, I mean, you spilled some tea. You gave us some exclusives. I'm feeling pretty good about it.
You're feeling good.
I'm feeling pretty good about it.
And excellent.
We just want to say thank you to all of you, like I said, who are listening, who have subscribed to the show. We're 6 episodes in, and you know, we're getting more listens and downloads every day. So we really do appreciate it. But we'd love to hear more about what you'd love to see on the show. We format it based on what we're learning and what we're experiencing on the day to day. But if there's a guest or a certain segment or part of the industry you want more of, we're happy to dig in. So we'll see you next time.
Thank you.